BBC Surrey with Nick Wallace.
Our main story, though, on BBC Surrey Breakfast this morning. Train managers are promising a faster response and better communication for passengers after 80,000 people were left stranded between Waterloo and Woking last June. South West Trains admits it and Network Rail should have coped quicker and better. This was all caused by a cable theft at Farnborough. The companies have been explaining themselves to a scrutiny committee at Woking Borough Council. The chair of that committee is Denzel Coulson. He says there was a lot of surprise at the breakdown in communication between the different companies. And he says that it's also understandable that some passengers got off the trains onto the track that evening.
If you had the information given to the passengers, then they wouldn't have risked their lives that way. They made the assumption that there was no power, so that's why they made the decision. So there were so many different things that happened. Also, the on-call emergency arrangements were not fully triggered, as they thought things would return back to normal. And there was no full mobilisation of crisis management.
Okay, let's talk now with Network Rail's Regional Managing Director, Richard O'Brien, and South West Trains Director, Jake Kelly. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Hello.
First of all, do you accept that it was the lack of communication between yourselves as organisations and passengers that made an already bad situation worse? Jake?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say we're very sorry about what happened. We could and should have done better, and we've learnt a number of lessons from it and put in place a number of things to make it better next time. Certainly communication is key, but also it's a whole range of things from command and control on site right through to telling passengers what's going on.
I mean, Mr. Coulson said that the meeting last night was actually mind-boggling because they weren't aware just how bad the situation was being managed that night in June. Do you accept that there were serious failings there?
Well, I certainly think we should have done much better. I think the unfortunate cable theft yesterday around Guildford shows, whilst it was clearly very disruptive for a lot of passengers, shows that we've learnt lessons. Information was much better for passengers. The train plan that allowed people to get to work was much more robust.
Richard O'Brien, protecting these cables is your job. Why is it that you don't seem to be able to stop people from nicking them?
Well, what's happening with metal theft generally is it's rising throughout the country, and indeed the south of England has seen a lot of it in the last couple of weeks. It's very disruptive for the railway. The railway wasn't built to cope with this sort of theft, and indeed there are thousands of miles of cables that would need to be replaced, and that's uneconomic to do so. So what we're doing is we're taking measures in working with the agencies, the police and others, to target harden and make it more difficult for these people to do it.
In what way?
We essentially have covert cameras that watch these things, and we're able to get fast responses to these things when they happen. But what we'd really like to see is we'd like to see the legislation changed that deals with the downstream effects of where these things go to scrap dealers and others. We propose legislation to the government that we think will make it a better environment for the police to be able to bring people to book that steal these cables.
Is it time to consider overhead electrification? Because not only would that reduce the likelihood of a lot of these cables being nicked, correct me if I'm wrong, but also if there are problems on the trains, you don't have the danger associated with passengers getting down from their carriages.
Yes, overhead lines have some advantages over third rail. It's a very expensive task to carry out to change from third rail to overhead lines, which is why it's been considered for a number of years and considered to be uneconomic. There will come a time when the price of electricity gets such that the losses through a third rail system make it economic to switch to overhead lines. And that's probably going to happen in the next generation or so, but it's not going to happen quickly.
Jake Kelly, one of the biggest problems that night in June was not only the lack of information that the passengers on the trains were getting, which is why they took matters into their own hands, but when you've got old and vulnerable people and the pregnant lady, Emma Firth, who we heard from earlier on the programme, 8 months pregnant, no water on board the train, no food on board the train, no idea what was going on. Her husband was starting to get very panicky about her condition. This could happen at any time. Again, we know that the cable thefts happen all the time. Are you taking steps to ensure that people who are vulnerable, who may be trapped on trains, are one, given information, and two, looked after physically?
Yeah, I mean, clearly the key to this is to make sure that as far as it's possible, trains aren't trapped, and when they're trapped for as short a time as possible. But we have done a number of things, including strengthening our control arrangements to make sure that the time that trains are trapped is limited. We've also put a small supply of water on the majority of our trains so that vulnerable people can be better looked after when and if it happened. As Rich,
some people will be amazed that it's taken you this long to get round to doing that.
Well, I think clearly we learn from events. This is by far the worst event we've had for a very long time. We learn from our mistakes, and I can only repeat, we are very sorry about what happened.
This is a question, I don't know who wants to pick this up, but the Olympics are on their way. Mr. Coulson, I said, if there's anything that you didn't manage to bring up properly in the meeting yesterday that you want to put to you two gentlemen this morning, you are, according to Mr. Coulson, running at capacity pretty much during peak time already. What is going to happen? How is Network Rail, how are South West Trains going to cope when we've got millions of people coming from all over the world wanting to use this train service to get up to London?
I think that we're doing a number of different things for the Olympics. It's a special time for the country and a special time for the railway. What we're finding is that during the summer periods, normally it's a quiet time for the railway. This summer we've kind of cancelled all leave and we're going to have the maximum amount of resource out there. We've cancelled all major engineering works to make sure that we can use the system to the absolute maximum, and we'll put on a good show for the Olympics.
And in terms of the communication, because you're not just having to communicate with people who use the service every day, you're going to have to communicate with people in several different languages. I mean, are you confident that you're going to have the right amount of staff there and the right amount of training in place when the Olympics happens?
Yes, we are. We've announced a very large investment in giving a large number of our frontline staff smartphones to make communication much better. We're investing in IT infrastructure and stations to make that significantly better, and training as well. Clearly, the Olympics is going to be an enormous challenge for all of us, but something we're absolutely ready for.
And one final question on a personal note, Mr. Kelly. It was a source of considerable frustration here in the newsroom that we couldn't get South West Trains on the morning after that big mess back in June to come on and talk to us about what was going on. We were told that you didn't consider it worthwhile doing an interview for us. Are things going to change in that regard as well? Because we have a direct line to your customers here, and I think they have a right to know what's going on.
Well, first thing on the morning after that event, we were all involved in understanding what had happened. I then actually spent the rest of the day doing interviews to your colleagues in various other radio stations and BBC. Yes, clearly, I'm very happy to come on the station in the future.
We'll hold you to that. Gentlemen, thanks for your time this morning. That was Jake Kelly, the South West Trains Communications Director, and Richard O'Brien, Network Rail's Regional Managing Director. The time is 16 minutes past 8.